Now, I want to warn you that none of us approach this book neutral. When we come to read the Bible, we always read it from our bias, from our background, our temperament. We like to read into the Bible what we want it to say. And so if we're rich, we like to find those verses in the Bible that say, you know, it's okay to be rich. And then if we're poor, we like to find those verses in the Bible that say, you know, overthrow the rich, you know. And so we just want to find the verses that we like and ignore all the other ones.
Thanks for joining us today here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Do you ever find yourself surviving but not thriving? That's because we usually take care of our physical necessities, but it's so easy to neglect our spiritual and emotional needs. As we continue this series, Essentials for Living, Pastor Rick is going to give you the insight and the tools you need to live a balanced life where you'll thrive and not just survive. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource you can take with you wherever you go. It will provide practical answers to any dilemma facing you. You can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's message. Again, text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Using the Bible to Make Decisions.
Now, the oldest temptation known to man is the temptation to doubt God's word. And whenever we, you know, find something in the Bible that we don't like, or we think is maybe a little restrictive, or it seems a little outdated or antiquated or old-fashioned, we go, you know, I don't know if I like that one or not, that statement, that principle, that command. Well, then we start to doubt God's word, and we start saying, well, now, does the Bible really say you can't do this? Does the Bible really say, did God really mean it? Anytime you start thinking that question, friend, you have fallen for the oldest trap in the world. It was Satan's original temptation. It was the one he used on Adam with the very first human being. One day, the devil comes to Adam and goes, did God really say you shouldn't eat of this tree? What is he doing? The oldest temptation is the temptation to doubt God's word. Whenever you doubt God's word, you're getting in trouble. Whenever you doubt God's word, you're doubting his love. God, I don't really think you love me. I don't think you know what's best. And you're headed down a very slippery slope. So when making a decision, the first test is, what does God say about it? Tom's going to talk about the next one.
The second test is the integrity test. With the second test, you want to ask yourself the question, what I want everyone to know about this decision that I'm making. You see, if you're making a decision and you worry that other people are going to find out about this decision that you're making, then it's most likely, it's a very good indication that it's a bad decision. Because bad decisions like that always lead to secrets, and those kinds of secrets always lead to pain in our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 there in your outline. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Now notice, it doesn't say might be found out, or even there's a high probability that you're going to be found out. You will be found out. And so when making decisions, you have to have the integrity test. Now we've all seen how this happens. Before you're about to make a bad choice, you know it's a bad choice, you know it's probably not the choice you should make, but before you make the choice, you think to yourself, well, I'll go ahead and do it because no one will ever know. No one will ever know. And immediately, the moment you make that choice, what do you start thinking? Someone's going to find out. And you feel that fear that comes from that. That's when you violated this integrity test. The test of integrity is that your public life and your private life match. That's what's in your heart and what's in your life are the same thing. That your walk and your talk, what you say and what you do are in harmony with each other. And the truth is, when it comes to integrity, even if you can fool everyone else, you can't fool yourself. And if you violate your own conscience, you have to pay for that. Look at James chapter 4, verse 17. In fact, let's read this verse together. Knowing what is right to do and then not doing it, it's sin. Even if I know the right thing to do and violate my conscience and choose not to do it, it is sin. So one of the questions to ask yourself when making any decision is, can I do this with a clear conscience? Because every time you violate your conscience, it's a big mistake. Sometimes we think this way. We know we're about to do the wrong thing. We know we shouldn't do it, but this thought comes to our mind. You know, if even though it's wrong, I know I'm doing the wrong thing, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, I think, because I know that God will forgive me. God will forgive me. He's a forgiving God. What kind of fool do you think God is? That I could go ahead and make a decision to do something that he says is wrong and that it's not going to have consequences in my life. That's the very reason he doesn't want me to make that decision, is because he loves me, not because he wants to keep me from having fun. There are consequences to every decision. And every bad decision always leaves scars in our lives. Over and over and over again as a pastor, I have seen people who have made decisions, they knew they were wrong, and they found that that biblical law and that natural law, whatever you sow, you're going to reap, happened once again in their lives. That's the way that it works in life. Now, does this mean that God does not forgive us for the wrong things we do? Of course he forgives us. He's a forgiving and gracious God. But that forgiveness does not free us from the pain and the consequences that come from bad decisions. You can be forgiven and still have the regrets. You can be forgiven and still face the pain. You can be forgiven and still have to struggle with the low self-esteem from that decision. You can be forgiven and still have to have the broken relationship because you made that decision. Forgiven and still lose the rewards. Now, when we think about things that we know are wrong, it's easier than with the gray areas. How do you decide with these gray areas and the integrity test? Is this right or is this wrong? There's a Bible verse for that too. Romans chapter 14:14 says this. If someone believes that something is wrong, then he shouldn't do it. He shouldn't do it because for him it is wrong. This verse very simply says, when in doubt, don't. Because it's a violation of the integrity test, that whatever is not from faith in our lives is sin.
The third way to test the decision is what I call the improvement test, and that is, will it make me a better person? Will it make me a better person? The Bible talks about this in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 23. It says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, and not everything is constructive. Now notice the freedom we have here as Christians. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, and not everything builds you up. It's constructive. What is he saying? He's saying that some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. They're not essential. It's not a matter of between good and bad. It's a matter between what's good and what's the best. Most of the choices you make in life are not really between really good and really evil. I mean, you don't get up in the morning saying, shall I read my Bible or become an international terrorist? You know, those kind of things do not even cross your mind. Pray, become a drug addict, you know? Those aren't issues with you. The issue is what's really best in your life. Because a lot of things aren't necessarily wrong. They're morally neutral, but they're just not necessary. And so you need to go to a higher standard and ask, will this, what I'm about to do, make me a better person? That is the improvement test.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Using the Bible to Make Decisions from our series called Essentials for Living. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, so you can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, in each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to rickwarren.org right now or call 800-600-5004. You can also text the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
I remember many years ago when Kay was nursing our babies, and our babies would always get hungry right about noon, and so she would sit down to feed them, and she would turn on the TV. Well, what's on TV at midday? Oh, you know this. Oh, you know, oh, soap operas. I didn't know this. Soap operas. And so she started watching a soap opera while she'd feed the baby. Well, evidently, these soap operas kind of run into each other. And they kind of lead you on to the next one. And pretty soon, she was watching two. And after a while, pretty soon, she was watching three. And those babies were getting fat. They were well-fed babies. But, you know, after a while, she said she realized she wasn't doing this for the babies anymore. That she was actually rearranging her schedule to make sure she could see those shows. And she started figuring out ways, you know, well, I'll do ironing at this time, or I'll clean up the kitchen, wherever the TV was, so she could get in. And actually, she got connected to the lives of fictional people. Now, I know none of you have ever done this. But all of a sudden, she became intimately interested in the lives of people who didn't even exist. And she said one day it just hit her like a ton of bricks, just kind of like a hello, you know, wake up call. She said, I am wasting my life. This is a total waste of my life and my time. This does not make me a better woman. This does not make me a better mother. This does not make me a better wife. It has no redeeming value. I am caring about people who don't even exist, when there are many who could be cared about, who do exist. Now, I realize I'm treading on thin ice right now. But I'm going to say it anyway. Some of you, your lives revolve around certain TV shows, and you are wasting your life. You are wasting your life. You know more about some fictional characters on TV than you know about Paul and Peter and the disciples and Jesus and what God wants to do in your life. And you are wasting your life. It is not making you a better person. Some of you are reading trashy novels that you have no business reading, and you're filling your mind with all kinds of junk. And some of you are reading novels that aren't trashy. They're just stuffing. And you spend hours and hours and hours in a world that does not exist, that does not make you a better person in any way, shape, or form. Or you read magazines. It is amazing to me how many Christians know great things, little trivia, about celebrities. And they read all these celebrity magazines and these people magazines, and you know who's dating whom and who went to what show with whom and what she wore and all, you know, on and on and on. These people live very shallow lives, and you're investing your life reading about it instead of making your life matter. That's a waste. Now, I know some of you guys are going, get 'em, Rick. Okay, guys. Some of you couch potatoes out there, from the moment you get home on Friday until Monday morning, are glued to ESPN. He could go all the way. Okay. You know more about Chris Berman than you know about your wife. And you are wasting your life. Are these things evil? No. Are they bad? No. Are they a waste of time if you spend too much time on them? Absolutely. Do they make you a better person? Absolutely not. In no way, shape, or form do they make you a better person. and you are giving your life for something that is a second-class cause. As I said, many activities in life are morally neutral. They're not right or wrong. It's just they're not helpful. They're unnecessary. You say, well, Rick, there's nothing wrong with it. You're right, but that's the wrong question. The question is not, is there anything wrong with it? The question is it making me a better person? Am I making something of my life? Now, I want to warn you that none of us approach this book neutral. When we come to read the Bible, we always read it from our bias, from our background, our temperament. We like to read into the Bible what we want it to say instead of letting it just speak to us. And so if we're rich, we like to find those verses in the Bible that say, you know, it's okay to be rich. And then if we're poor, we like to find those verses in the Bible say, you know, overthrow the rich, you know. And so we just want to find the verses that we like and ignore all the other ones. Rather than coming to God's word with a humble attitude and saying, God, you know what's best for me. You know what's right for me. And I'm going to do what you say to do, whether it makes sense or not, because I want to be a better person. And we just humbly submit to what he says. That's the third test. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
The fourth test is the independence test. You ask yourself the question with this test, could it become addicting to me? Could it begin to control and dominate my life? You see, no matter how fun something is, if it begins to dominate your life, to become an addiction, it's a bad decision. No matter how popular something is, if it is addicting to you, it's a bad decision. No matter how good something is for somebody else, if it dominates your life and becomes addicting to you, it's a bad decision. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 talks about this test when it says, all things, Paul is talking, says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. I'm going to decide, he says, not to decide to do anything that dominates my life. I won't let anything master me. I won't let anything consume me or control my life. Now, why is this so important? Because whatever dominates your life eventually becomes your God. The big ten, God's Ten Commandments. The first one, God said, you shall have no other gods before me. He knew how easily we could do this. He knew that we get addicted to our idols. Now, I know idols back then we think of as that little stone statue they put up on a shelf and worshiped. But we still have idols today. We worship little symbols on our car that we have that's different than everyone else's. Or on our shirt or the corner office. Or there's lots of things that you can get addicted to today. Can you become dominated by your work? Of course you can. Can you become addicted to sex? Of course you can. Or sports? Or money? Can you become addicted to the internet? Hour after hour after hour? Of course you can. Do you know that today there are over 2,000 classified addictions? You can get addicted to almost anything. Some of you are addicted to chocolate. Sorry to get so close to home, but you can get addicted to anything. And you know, you're thinking about chocolate all the time. And you find yourself 4 or 5 days driving by Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory, rolling the window down just to smell the smell. You're not going to go in, you're just driving by. You linger over the chocolate ads in the newspaper. That's how you know it's starting to dominate your life. How do you know if you've fallen into that kind of an addiction? How do you know if something's starting to dominate your life? I think the number one question to ask yourself is this. What do I think about the most? What is it that when you're alone, what is it that when you're relaxed, you find yourself thinking about again and again and again? This is hard for us to admit. The things that begin to dominate our lives. It's very difficult for us to be honest with ourselves about this. I would say to you that if right now in your mind you're thinking, you know, this is not what I'm addicted to. As I'm talking about this, you're thinking, oh, it couldn't be that. Guess what? It's probably that. That's probably the thing that you're struggling with. And Paul says, I have decided that I'm not going to let anything control my life like that. 1 Corinthians 6:12 in the Living Bible says it this way. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. But some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think that they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. Only Christ should have that kind of place in our lives, the first place in our lives. Because he's the only one that's worthy of that place in our lives. Anything else that we put in that place will eventually dominate and control and ruin our lives. But when we put him in that place in our lives, he is the one that encourages, enables, and empowers our lives. So that's why this Independence test. Can it become addicting to me is such an important question in making great decisions.
The fifth way to test the decision is the influence test. Will it harm other people? Will it harm other people? One of the biggest mistakes we make in life is we forget how much our actions influence and affect others around us. And every day you are tempted to make decisions that may be the best thing for you, but could have a devastating effect on the people around you. And so you need to take this fifth test. Will it harm other people? Now, this is the opposite of our culture, because culture teaches us, think of yourself only. Think of what you need, what your desires are. But the truth is, God expects you to think more than just of yourself. God expects you to think of the other people around you. In fact, you may not know this, but the Bible says one day you're going to be judged by God on how your decisions affected other people. Not you, but how they affected other people. Because God takes this serious. Notice this verse, Romans 14. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Try to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you doing something he thinks is wrong.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. If you've ever asked, how can I cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, or have peace of mind? Let me tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. He offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, "In each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. To get your copy, go to rickwarren.org right now or call 800-600-5004. You can also text the word DAILY to 313131. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've listened to Daily Hope for any length of time, you know that I always stress the importance of being in a small group Bible study. A small group is the basic unit of the body of Christ. It's where we learn together, we grow together, we worship together, we fellowship together, we minister together, we share the good news together, we pray for each other. And if you have a small group, one of the things you need to do constantly is affirm the people in your life. You see, everybody is starving for affirmation. Everybody needs an attaboy, a word of encouragement. And if you'll do this, it will make such a difference in your group. So this week, here's your homework assignment. Text the people in your small group or email them or call them or write them and simply say, "I'm grateful for you, and here's why." You'll find that the more grateful you are for your group, the more your group will bond. Did you know the word appreciation means to raise in value? It's the opposite of depreciation. If you've ever bought a car, a new car, you know the value of depreciation, because the moment you drive it off the car lot, it loses its value. Appreciation means to raise in value. That means every time you appreciate the people in your life, you raise their value. And by the way, when you're doing it, tell them about Daily Hope. There are many ways that they can listen to this broadcast. And while you're at it, write me at rick@rickwarren.org and let me know what's going on in your life. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.